at @_Hunter. You are the greatest NBA podcast in the history of NBA podcast. Stat Chasers. As I said, I'm your host, Dylan Huntzinger of Thunder Chats. Ho! And I'm joined today by my cohorts. First hailing from the nation of Canada, he is the Six Stuart Gardner. Six Stuart Gardner, what's up, man?
Thank you for letting the fans know that any mysterious noises they heard are likely me just quietly coughing and being sad over here in the Great White North.
Hey, I'm right there with you, man. This whole weather change is messing my allergies crazily. Like, I sound fine now, but when I first called you guys, I was scratchy throat, sniffling everything. So I'm right there with you. But we are joined by another person today. He is part of the podcast, but he was not present live with us last week, but you did hear his voice. That voice is none other than Matthew Mullins of Nebraska. Matty Mullins, what's up?
What is going on, guys? Yeah, it's the highlight of my week. I hated that I didn't get to talk to y'all, quote-unquote, live last week, but man, it's good to be back, and we got quite a bit to get into today, so I'm really excited, man. I've been working on my laugh all day.
Oh, gosh. Well, we will get right into it, and by into it, I don't mean a certain person's laugh. What we're going to do, guys, is we have 30 NBA teams, and obviously they all had a media day. And so what I do is I got my handy-dandy number generator. I'm going to hit generate whatever number team I land on. We will talk about their media day. So I'll go ahead and kick it off. Sound good, guys?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Number 23 is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think the 76ers had their media day actually on Friday.
You would be more tuned into that than I am, but I do recall seeing a couple, some new Philadelphia 76ers news on Friday that seemed media day related. So I think you're probably right on that.
Okay. The main takeaway from Philadelphia 76ers media day was, ESPN Jump was there. So they got all the coverage, and Embiid sat down with an interview with Rachel Nichols, and the thing that he said about number one pick, DeAndre Ayton, he said he is about to get his AWS kicked. What do you guys think about Embiid automatically calling out the number one overall pick?
I want to put a caveat on that, because outside of the headline, which is obviously what ESPN and everybody ran with, Embiid was pretty complimentary of Ayton, and really he just came out and said his defense isn't very good, so when he's going up against me, like, I'm going to destroy him, in paraphrasing. And frankly, I mean, I wouldn't say that's wrong. Embiid destroys most centers in the NBA, even when they are good on D, and Ayton is very pointedly not giving 100% effort on defense. So it makes for a nice headline, but when you watch the whole interview and see the full quote, I think he's coming from a pretty reasonable place.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing to me is Embiid doesn't have a lot of room to talk about defense. I mean, this is a guy who was just destroyed in the post by Al Horford in the Eastern Conference semifinals. So, yeah, I just thought it's funny, Matt. You got anything to take away from that, man?
Yeah, so even if it's LeBron James coming into the league, right? Like, LeBron showed flashes, but he wasn't performing at an all-star level. And people are projecting Joel Embiid to be an MVP candidate. So, I mean, thing is, like, Embiid's going to always come out and talk noise in battles he thinks he can win. But he's never willing to say, man, that dude got me tonight. He's always going to, I don't know. Maybe it's just because, like, I hate his personality. And that may be an unpopular opinion that I can expound upon later. But man, come on, like saying a rookie is about to get rocked. Ooh, you're really going out of the box. And to say that rookie's about to get rocked, who also plays in the Western Conference where it's super stacked. Like, come on now. Embiid, not everybody gets to redshirt their first year and then coast through the Eastern Conference.
Embiid missed his first 2 years, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, the 76er way, so there you go.
Yeah. They're no stranger to their guy sitting out a year and then being eligible for Rookie of the Year as soon as they're good.
Dumb rule.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. The other thing to take away is Simmons says the Sixer roster is on the right track. Yeah, you know, he was talking about LeBron's decision not to come to Philadelphia. Obviously, I spoke on this on the podcast before. I didn't love LeBron's fit in Philadelphia just because I feel like him and Ben, you know, kind of play the same role. In terms of being the big, forward type guy who needs the ball in his hands to, you know, get guys open. And the only difference is LeBron has a little bit more of a jump shot than Ben Simmons. But what do you guys think about that? Simmons saying they are on the right track. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, it's like I said, and when we were doing our housekeeping prior to this, is that it is media day. So obviously Ben Simmons can't come out and be like, oh man, like we're screwed because LeBron didn't sign with us. Obviously he has to say that, yeah, it will be fine. And to a large extent, I agree with him. I think that Philly is probably missing one more superstar to be a legit championship contending team. But I would say they're super young. They've got a lot of pieces that they can move to get one of those stars if they're disgruntled in, say, I don't know, Minnesota or something. So I actually agree with what he's saying. And that I would say in terms of young teams in the NBA that are, quote unquote, on the right track, it would be them and the Celtics fighting for that that number one future contender spot.
All right, what'd you guys say about it, Matt? Do you think the Sixers are on the right track or do you think they're on the outside looking in?
As far as being contenders, I mean, the whole Eastern Conference hierarchy is, you know, it's available for those top teams because LeBron went west. So to say we're on the right track, I mean, yeah, you know, if everybody stays healthy, which is a big if for the Sixers, yeah, they can match up with, you know, Toronto and Boston, you know, out there. So I don't know. I mean, saying we're on the right track, it's easy to say that here in September. Where are they going to be at, and, you know, around the trade deadline, for instance?
Yeah, so. And the other thing to note is, you know, did Ben Simmons, in fact, work on his jump shot? Is Ben Simmons going to have a semblance of a jump shot? We're not asking Ben Simmons to shoot three-pointers, but if he could, you know, come out to that mid-range game, I think it changes their offense because right now guys are just sagging back on him because all he can do really is attack the hole. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, boys. Y'all ready to move on to our next team?
Sure. I am.
All right, this is number 17, which is the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, the big story coming out of Milwaukee Bucks yesterday is Giannis had a workout with Kobe Bryant. For that workout, he showed up 3 hours early, and he said something to the effect of, "I'm not effing around this year." Maddie, you go ahead and tee this off, man. What's your take on that?
I mean, first of all, Giannis's work ethic has never been in question, right? His character has never been in question. His competitive drive's never been in question. So saying, "I'm not effing around this year," well, what year were you effing around, right?
True.
I need to see your offensive game expand, though. Like, what's going to be able to – people are always saying he's the next, you know, scoring freak like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had a jumper. Kevin Durant could threaten you. As soon as he crossed half court, you had to be aware of where he was. if I'm defending Giannis, I'm saying, look, you're staying out of the paint. You're staying away from 15 footers. I'm going to make you shoot from three, and that's how you're going to beat me. So, I mean, and Giannis has always been willing to take the shot at the end of the game. So, like, the Mamba mentality of having that killer instinct, that's – I think he's got that – the want to there. But his offensive prowess has got to expand, or I don't think he's going to be able to maximize, you know, getting that type of tutelage from someone like Kobe Bryant. I do like him, though. I mean, obviously he has to be on your MVP short list. Guys like him and Embiid and Anthony Davis are all going to be right at the top for most people because they haven't won it before. They have a lot of ability to affect things on the floor. And there's not really the voters' fatigue with those guys. But he undoubtedly has to take a step forward, especially with LeBron heading west. He has to be, no kidding, the dominant three out east. Not Gordon Hayward. Not any mixture of Tatum or Jaylen Brown, whatever positions they're playing. Like, it has to be Giannis on a night-in, night-out basis.
What you think about, Stu?
Yeah, well, I do agree with Maddie because, like, if Giannis, who averaged just about 27 points per game last year on 53% shooting from the field, almost 30% from three, well, 30% from three, limited attempts, if that was him effing around – I'm scared to see what happens when he stops. he was an MVP candidate last year. Assuming that all things stay the same, he'll be an MVP candidate this year as well. And so we'll see. I mean, if he worked with Kobe on jump shooting, that would be a big help. Not that Kobe was like a high efficiency player, even in his prime, but and I'm not a big fan of, like, whenever you hear so and so worked out with the ex former great in the this off season, because, like, I mean, Jonas Valanciunas worked out with Hakeem, and he still doesn't look like Hakeem when he plays, and I love Jonas, but it is what it is on that, you know, and that So we'll see, and I'm sure when we watch, maybe he's picked up a few things from Kobe to diversify his scoring game a little bit. But it is, like Maddie said, his next mountain to climb as a player is getting a functional jump shot. And until I see proof of that in a game, I don't – the rest of it is all just kind of noise.
Yeah, I think the main takeaway that I have from that is it just showcases Giannis's work ethic. Because, you know, there's all kinds of stories about guys trying to get to the gym before Kobe. But Kobe's already there shooting when they get there. And for Giannis to show up 3 hours before Kobe is just a testament to how much, you know, he's willing to work it and try to take that next step this year. So Giannis has always been my favorite non-Thunder player ever since we got Paul George, because Paul George is my favorite non-Thunder player. But yeah, like I'm super excited for him. I think he's going to do some big things.
Yeah, I will say, I definitely agree with that. He's a hardworking guy, and it's easy to forget because, I mean, he's been in the league for 5 years, but he is only 23.
Ridiculous. All right. Next team is number 9, the Detroit Pistons.
Oh boy.
We was talking a little bit about this headline and housekeeping, so I'm going to go ahead and tee it up for Stu, who's hitting from the white tee today. So Andre Drummond said, the Pistons gave me the green light to shoot threes. Stu, go ahead. Let us know why this is noise and not news.
Because I feel like what happened is – because they haven't had practice or anything yet. I feel like he talked to Dwayne Casey and was like, hey, like, I worked on my three all off season. If you like what I see, will I be able to shoot threes in game? And Dwayne was like, yeah, sure, I guess, Andre. But, like, and Drummond made great strides last year as a free throw shooter. But he's not a guy that I watch play and I think, oh, man, like, he's got to add a three-pointer to his game. That's what he's missing, you know. It's not the type of player he is. It's not what he should be doing on Detroit because they already have another stretch big in Blake Griffin.
An elite stretch big in Blake Griffin.
You can call him what you want. a stretch big. And, yeah, it's also – I mean, Drummond's a fun guy, and so he's definitely the type of guy who would take that sort of a statement from his coach and take the chance to say something sensational to the media and generate some headlines and some spotlight for himself. But I would be pretty floored if Andre Drummond comes out shooting a lot of threes this season.
Go ahead, Stu. I mean, Maddie.
So you don't want to see the pick-and-pop game between Griffin and Drummond?
I mean, it'd be super weird if I saw them run it. It'd be kind of exciting just based off that.
I mean, they combined, they would be a more athletic version of what Boogie and Anthony Davis were hoping to be in New Orleans. I'm not saying they're on that level, right? Because Anthony Davis is far and away better than either one of those two.
Anthony Davis eats Blake Griffin for breakfast.
Sure, as he does essentially everyone else in the league when he's, you know, not getting banged up because he's got a hangnail or whatever. His health is always a concern. But going to another guy whose health is a concern, and Blake Griffin, Detroit is going to give him every potential opportunity to succeed there. And they're not going to rely on Drummond to have to create his own shot and to necessarily facilitate the offense in that way. So if Drummond slides out to the perimeter, Griffin has the ability to drive in and kick out. They have talent on that team to be able to get Drummond opportunities to shoot threes. Now, I mean, Whiteside has said, you know, essentially watch out, and then proceeds to hit like 8 threes in a row. But I mean, shoot, I'm sure DeAndre Jordan could even do that in practice.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah, that might be a bit of, but most anyone in the NBA can hit threes in practice.
I didn't say free throws. So it's a little different shooting motion, especially when you're wide open. But I think they're going to allow both of those guys to do whatever they want to on offense, because they're going to try to do everything they can to scratch and claw their way into the playoffs. We said before the season, we projected them all of us projected them to be what, an 8 seed?
In and around there, yeah.
Yeah, because the Bulls came stampeding in there to jump them. I think Drummond's got the talent. I think looking at his improvement at the free throw line could be expanded potentially upon his ability to increase his range from the basket.
And it is important to note that he doesn't have to go out and be like Kristaps Porzingis from three and be like actually a deep range deadeye. He has to be able to hit 30% when he's open, so that guys have to respect that shot and it creates spacing.
Absolutely.
I think it's interesting because I've heard that Jimmy Butler has been linked to Detroit, not in the past couple of days, but, you know, like later last week, especially. And I think it'd be interesting because, Maddie, you kind of touched on, you know, Blake Griffin can do the driving kick. Blake Griffin, when Chris Paul was injured in Los Angeles, he essentially played the point guard position. He played point forward. So if you could package Reggie Jackson, a Stanley Johnson, some young players, maybe a pick for Jimmy Butler, then, hey, maybe you could have a little Blake Griffin running point with Butler at the wing and then Drummond down low. That could be a deadly unit, especially come playoff time.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying hard to match up with for sure.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely an interesting group of guys, and I am curious to see what Detroit looks like under Dwayne Casey versus how they looked under Van Gundy. So it's, I don't know, it's something to keep an eye on. But like I say, I'll be floored if Drummond has really added that much range to his game, seeing as last year was the first year he shot above 50% from the line.
All right, boys, the next team we got is Team 11. That is the Houston Rockets. Ooh. Now, the big takeaway here is Carmelo is still fat. Okay, moving on. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
So there was three different things said about what Melo's going to do. I think it was Daryl Morey that came out and said that Carmelo is going to do whatever he can to help us, whether that's starting or whether that's come off the bench. Mike D'Antoni said, we'll see how he fits. I don't know how they play together, how they fit together. And Carmelo said, all the questions about coming off the bench, I don't want to answer those questions at the end of the day. Whatever I do to help this team win a championship, that's going to be done. Guys, tell me why there were three different answers.
There are three quote-unquote different answers, but what that looks like to me more than anything is that D'Antoni and Morey talked to Carmelo and said, hey, like, you have to, your spot in the starting lineup isn't guaranteed. Like we talked about a while ago when we were talking about the Carmelo trade, in that he's not making whatever he made on the Thunder, like $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's making vet men. So they said, hey, like, your spot isn't guaranteed. You're just another guy on this team. And Morey and D'Antoni said how they interpreted that. And Carmelo said how he interpreted it. And obviously, because Carmelo can't seem to figure this out, he took that as saying that he still has a good chance to start. How I interpret those quotes from Morey and D'Antoni is that they're setting it up for Carmelo to have a pretty dramatically reduced role on this Houston Rockets team.
What about you, Maddie?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I could come in here with an unbiased stance on it. So I'll put that as a disclaimer at the beginning. But I, as much as we wanted to bag on Carmelo, right, as you know, Loud City, I think he really wanted to win. He wanted to win last year in OKC. And he thought the best way that he could contribute to helping us win was him having a significant role as our number three guy, which was the first time he ever took that role on. He had always been really a 1A or a 1B.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a transition for him. I don't know how much of a realization he came to that said, I am no longer an all-star caliber player. I don't know when that actually happened. But I will say this. If he went to the Rockets first last year, if the Rockets were able to pull that deal off to bring him in, I think it would have yielded similar results to what we went through with him being force-fed as a third option. But because he went through the experience he went through with us, and that was a natural transition point from being all-star focal point of a team to a legitimate role player, potential excellent second man, or not second, sixth man off first guy off the bench role slash I can spot in there and give you 20 on a night where your other guys are off. He could very well excel in that role this year. But yeah. it wouldn't have been the same if he would have gone there first, in my very biased opinion.
Yeah, and what I think a lot of people are kind of forgetting is, you know, Stu, you kind of touched on this too with the money he was making, but expounding on that, you know, if Carmelo wants to have that same attitude he had at Oklahoma City about, you know, who me, P, they say I come off the bench, as far as sacrificing the bench role, that's out of the question. If he wants to pull that stunt and try to, you know, cause issues, they can just cut him. He's a vet minimum. They can cut him. Who cares if your name's Carmelo Anthony? If you're if you're not adding to this team, then we have no use for you. We're going to go out and fill that roster spot with somebody else that can actually help us. We don't have to deal with your bull crap. OKC had to, because if they wanted to cut you, then it was $28 million. And that's the difference that, you know, people aren't really listening to. You know, like, I've already accepted the fact that Carmelo's going to have a better season offensively. He just is. I don't think he's going to score 20 points a game, but I think he'll shoot the ball better.
Yeah, his efficiency is going to go way up just by virtue of who he's playing with. Like, Harden and Chris Paul are guys who create other guys' shot or create open shots for their teammates more so than Russ and PG do. Russ and PG are finishers of plays as opposed to creators. In particular, Chris Paul is like, he is what he is. He's the one of the best point guards in the league at creating shots for teammates.
I'm going to hold off my Russ versus Harden take.
Yeah. I, the minute I said that, I was like, oh, I just opened a can of worms here. But
you get the sentiment, though. I just don't have him in front of me. but no, I believe he's going to have a more efficient year, like you said. But defensively, you know, the problem with Melo was never offense. You know, we could live with his ISO shots. We could live with, you know, his black hole offense and even him missing his shots. The problem that we had with him, you know, as the Thunder, is he couldn't play defense. He couldn't guard a cardboard box. And guess what? He's a year older now. It doesn't matter what kind of system he's in. Doesn't matter who's playing around him. Newsflash, James Harden's not a very good defender either. He doesn't have Andre Robertson bailing him out. He doesn't have Paul George bailing him out. So I think he's going to be exposed as much, if not more so, on the defensive end.
But he doesn't even have Trevor Ariza bailing him out anymore in Houston.
Or Luke Carmbamute. He's got to rely on P.J. Tucker a lot, and they're kind of the same body shape right now.
Hey, he's up on P.J. He's just thick. He's not fat.
All right, boys, let's get this next team here. Number 25. That's my fantasy football, not photos. All right, Portland Trailblazers. Boys, did you get to see anything happen on the Portland Trailblazers front?
Go ahead, Stu.
No. Well, I mean, I'm going to say most of the Portland Trailblazers stuff was Dame and CJ having fun with their off-season events in their media day, which is ironically kind of the problem with the Portland Trailblazers offense, is that it's mostly just Dame and CJ having fun. Outside of that, just going through, I mean, I can see also Yusuf Nurkic put a Snapchat filter on himself, which is funny, I guess. But yeah, their media day, nothing really groundbreaking came out of Portland, I would say.
Yeah, of course, it was the debut of the BioFreeze patch on the Blazers uniform, which, you know, it came out that BioFreeze is sponsoring both Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers, if I'm correct. Did you guys get to see that story?
I just saw that, actually, and hold on. I have a BioFreeze story.
Okay. Content you can't get nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. So back when I was in high school and playing ball, I had a pretty bad groin strain in a game. So and when I got home, I saw that for some reason we had, like, a free sample of BioFreeze at our house. It had, like, come on, like, a mailer from our physio or something like that. And I was like, okay, well, you know, like, I'm going to throw this on this groin strain. And it was like a strain in the upper area of my groin, if you get what I'm implying. Mm-hmm. So I smeared the BioFreeze on, and I stood up right away. And immediately the BioFreeze came in contact with another region of my body. And it definitely gets cold, you guys. It definitely freezes. But it's they market it. It definitely does what they say. So I've never used BioFreeze before or since. And every time I see the logo, I kind of clench internally because I remember that.
Stu Gardner can't confirm BioFreeze and defreezes.
Yeah, BioFreeze, you sponsor me if you want. I definitely can tell people that your product works.
All right, there you go. Maddie, did you get to see Damian Lillard's workout video that he posted?
I actually didn't. I mean, but everybody and their mama's got a workout video. So what made this one different?
That's the thing. He made it as like a parody workout video. So, you know, everybody had their workout videos. He did one where he had on a mask, he had on a cape. He was hitting what was it, tennis ball or badminton, one or the other, with one hand while he was dribbling the other. He was dribbling through counters while being shot with a Nerf gun and then getting hit with a pool noodle. He was just doing all kinds of crazy stuff, basically, you know, just making fun of everybody that posts workout videos. And it was great. It just showed, you know, again, as Stu was saying, you know, how much fun Dame and CJ had. You know, CJ was all over the media with his social media tirades against, you know, Kevin Durant and people like that. So, yeah, I mean, that was literally all there was to take away from the Trailblazers media day, really.
Yo, I play daily fantasy sports.
And what, you? Really?
Yeah. So next year, that first game that Golden State plays against Portland, I'm definitely playing Kevin Durant. I'm going to put some legitimate coin on Kevin Durant in that matchup. I won't forget that. But, yeah, CJ, I mean, here's the question. So I know we're talking offseason. We're talking media day. Is CJ McCollum a Blazer at the trade deadline or past the trade deadline?
I think it depends on how they're doing, honestly. You know, I've voiced my opinion many times that I don't feel like Dame and CJ can get it done, just like I don't feel like John Wall and Brad Beal can get it done because they're too similar of players. But at the same time, I know CJ loves Portland. It seems like the Portland organization is really high on CJ. Dame himself is really high on CJ. So it would be a earth-shattering move in Portland if they was to move CJ McCollum.
Okay. Wait, sorry to get off track.
No, what do you think about this, dude?
No, I would say more than likely, I think they fire their coach before they trade either one of those two, just because they are super marketable, fun guys. So, they're kind of married to the two of them, just because the fans like them as much as they do. That said, if they're not looking very good come trade deadline, some big change is going to happen in Portland. I would say is almost guaranteed.
There you go. All right, moving on to the next team. We got the Phoenix Suns.
Ooh.
Big takeaway. Young guys, DeAndre Ayton said, "I'm all in." It's no telling what he's all in on. I guess he's all in on mediocrity. Josh Jackson said, "I shot a lot of threes this summer. At this point, it's about keeping that confidence." Also, big news, he cut his hair completely off. We mentioned that before, but he kept that look. So, you know, the hair can weigh you down and obviously mess with the jump shot. Shout out Alfred Payton. Michael Bridges says that he fits right in. It's nice to have guys his age because they have chemistry. Talking about the youth of the team. And then Trevor Ariza. Ready for this quote, guys? He says, "We are definitely looking forward to helping this organization win."
Okay.
And it says period, but there should be two more periods, and next to it say 28 games.
Yeah, I was about to say win double-digit games. So,
boys, what's your quick take on the Phoenix Suns? Because there's not a lot to talk about there.
My big takeaway, yeah, they're going to be terrible this year. I would be floored if they win. I would say the over-under is at 28 games, and I would take the under on that for them. Like they look like they might be super bad. My big takeaway from media day is Josh Jackson looks super weird without his hair. I can't explain it. I can't say exactly what it is. He looks like an entirely different dude. So maybe he'll be an entirely different player. Maybe he'll go out and start stroking 40% from three this season. I doubt it, but you never know.
It's like when Shumpert cut his hair.
Exactly.
What you got, Maddie?
I mean, I don't think it's going to translate into a lot of wins, but I think this is going to be a fun team. I think it's going to be a team that's going to compete. They're going to make mistakes, sure, because they are still freakishly young. But if this team was in the Eastern Conference, would you say that they could compete for a playoff spot? I would. I mean, I put their talent right alongside the Chicago Bulls, who I'm really high on, because of just the conference.
Maybe they could swing a 7-8 seed in the East, but they're pretty young. They might be starting me at point guard. I'm not certain. They got a lot of problems.
That's the other it wasn't really for media day, but that's the other big takeaway from the Suns is they're willing to help facilitate a Jimmy Butler trade if it means they can get a point guard in return. So that'll be something that we at Stat Chasers will definitely be keeping our eyes on. It could happen in the next 30 seconds or it could happen tomorrow or the next day, but I don't expect it to go past this week, Jimmy Butler staying in Minnesota. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Next up, we got team number 8, which is the Denver Nuggets. Again, not a lot to take away here. The Nuggets are upbeat. They feel really confident. You get to see Isaiah Thomas suiting up for the Nuggets for the first time. He'll be rocking number 0, which is just disrespectful to Russell Westbrook. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say Gilbert Arenas, but all right.
Agent 0. Coach Malone did say that they are hungry, they're passionate, and they don't want to be in the same boat come the end of the season. Of course, Denver Nuggets played in what was really exciting, like, as an NBA fan, to see basically a play-in for the playoffs in the final regular season game was just awesome. Like, you couldn't have asked for, you know, a better situation. But for the Denver Nuggets to be on the losing end of that, they obviously don't want to be in the losing end of that. You know, obviously there's some teams that we expect to drop off, Minnesota being one of them. So Nuggets look like they have a spot in the Western Conference playoffs. What do you guys take away from what Malone's saying? And where does your playoff picture in terms of the Denver Nuggets change from where you predicted, you know, like a month or a half ago?
It's in the same place for me. I predicted them making the playoffs, and I would be surprised if they don't. They're, knock on wood, going to have a fully healthy Paul Millsap all season, which I think goes a small way at least towards helping their defense. Their young guys, their young core is all another year older, and hopefully is going to carry some of their momentum from last year into this year. I think they're a playoff team. I don't see them making a ton of noise in the playoffs, but I think they're in kind of an incremental improvement spot right now.
What say you, Matthias?
I mean, they've been a team for over a decade, basically since they traded Melo away. They've been a team that has always had a lot of solid players. I remember back in playoff series against the Thunder that they had a lot of really solid players, but they didn't have an ace. They didn't have that guy who they could put the game on his shoulders and he would go take it over and win. Millsap can be that guy for them. And they just gave Joker a ton of money to be the legitimate center piece of that team, both by position on the floor and just how they operate on offense. He's a very good passing big man. I say all that to say this team has a ceiling as high as, I hate to say it as a Thunder fan, but it really as high as a 3 seed. And they could be as low as being the number 9 team in the West and being out of the playoffs. It's not guaranteed with them. But Coach Malone, I don't want to be in the same boat as come the end of the season. Well, what did you learn, Coach? Have you learned how to do rotations on your team yet? Have you learned how to put guys in positions to succeed yet? You go out and give Will Barton 14 minutes in a matchup that should be good. Yeah, I'm salty. I've put money on Will Barton in matchups that should be good. I think this team has all the pieces there to be really good and really dangerous. I'm not saying they're going to compete for knocking out Golden State, but this team is only going to go as far as Coach Malone coaches them to. They don't have any cancers in the locker room. They have a lot of guys who are bought in, really good teammates. They know their role. They have established roles. They're going to rise and fall based on the competency of Coach Malone. And honestly, it's hard for me to put my money on him.
All right. That is all fair. Obviously, you know, we know what they're capable of offensively with the team that they have right now, but defensively they are a train wreck. And I think that limits their ceiling considerably. But, you know, we said we was going to talk about this team, you know, when it came to them, and it came right to them. Minnesota Timberwolves, man. Big question on everybody's mind was what's going on with Jimmy Butler. Tom Thibodeau said we are not just going to make a bad deal. If there's a trade that makes sense for us, then we'll do it. If not, we'll go the other way. He goes on to say that Tibbs expects Butler to show up in camp if he is not traded soon. Of course, there was a report that said Butler is not interested in rejoining the Timberwolves. And to just, you know, put the cherry on top, Karl Towns said that he was surprised when Butler said he wanted a trade. Maddie, tee us off, man.
Wow. Well, there's obviously a lot to unpack, and we talked about a lot of those things last week. This is par for the course in all of sports when it comes to stars. And I'm not going to call Jimmy Butler a superstar because we can't throw that term around too loosely. There are really only about five or six superstars in the NBA, but he's a very solid perennial all-star player. One that was the best. He was really the best player on Minnesota last year. And he's been the best player that Minnesota has had since Kevin Garnett left the first time, right? I know he came back and retired in the good story. So they're going to give him every potential avenue to stay. It does not look like that is going to be how this thing unfolds. We said that we expect the deal to happen soon. I think if the deal doesn't get done, Jimmy Butler does not report. He has no incentive to. What's going to happen? He goes and he gets injured, and then nobody trades for him, and he has to sit it out. No, he doesn't want to waste this year. He wants to get out of there and potentially work his way to a situation he wants to be in. Honestly, something that I didn't mention before that helps him in this regard is, sounds like he wants to go to, you know, one of three places. Really, the Clippers is number one, but the Knicks and the Nets have been on his short list. The Lakers missing out on Paul George. The Lakers potentially missing out on Kawhi Leonard next year because they said, oh, we're not going to trade for a guy that we think we can just sign outright. That's a huge risk. And maybe the Clippers need another star in town to compete against LeBron James and a rising Lakers team who undoubtedly is going to get another all-star next year. I think that this short-lived relationship between Jimmy Butler and Minnesota is going to come to an end real soon. And I honestly think he's going to end up with the Clippers. He has no incentive to show up to camp. He's just going to sit out. And ultimately, with the time ticking, the Timberwolves have to get something in return for him. So,
all right, Stu, what did you think about this situation? Anything you got to say that we hadn't talked about last week's pod?
No, this is posturing with Tibbs. Tibbs coming out and saying that he's going to join the Timberwolves camp next week. I mean, Butler's already come out and said that he's not doing that. And now they're trying to rebuild whatever tiny amount of leverage they have left in order to try and get a good deal for him. But the writing's on the wall on this one. I think he's gone. He's out of Minnesota, and I think what the Knicks get in return is not going to be enough just because of the way the situation's played out.
I'll go ahead and ask you, Stu, because you had a short response there. What is your reaction to Carl? That wasn't shade, Matt. Yeah, I'm just saying. Let's talk a little more. What's your reaction to Carl saying that he was surprised Butler wanted a trade, given what we think we know?
Obviously, like you say, it's what we think we know, and we don't know for sure what the status of their relationship is. That said, the information that has come out seems largely credible about the fact that those two don't get along, and I think this is Carl just saying what the organization told him to say in order to, again, make sure that they have some small amount of leverage so they don't get totally fleeced when they do eventually deal Butler.
All right. Side note, they debuted their throwback unis, and they look amazing.
Yeah, throwback Minnesota jerseys with the little pine trees on the piping. Oh, yes. Those are great. Those are unbelievable.
Yeah, and they look so much cleaner than they did back in the day, too. So, that's what I love about the throwback jerseys now. I'm not trying to go around on throwback jerseys, but anytime, a throwback jersey is introduced, especially with, Nike doing them, they just look so much cleaner than they did back in the day, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. I feel what you're saying.
I'm getting real Garnett Marbury vibes from looking at those.
Marbury on the Timberwolves. I forgot all about that.
That was fun.
All right, boys. The number that we got now is number one. And who can guess who the number one team in the NBA is in regards to letters?
Donna. Pick one. Welcome to Atlanta, where the play is play.
Okay. He was ready for us. Stu, you lose, man. I'm sorry.
My bad. I'm sorry. I'm not up on my references. I got to work on it.
Yeah, nothing to really take away from Atlanta's press conference. You got to see Trae Young in the official Hawks garb. He's obviously excited to play. The dude has ridiculous amounts of pressure placed on his shoulders. Go ahead and let's go with Stu on this one. Stu, what do you think about Trae Young in his first year? Are you a Trae Young believer, or do you think that the young man's going to crumble under the pressure?
Advanced stats for college, especially usage rate and stuff, are hard to come by, so I don't have a ton of proof to back this up. I think his role in the NBA is going to be dramatically different from what it was at Oklahoma, obviously. And I think as a skinny, an undersized guard who excels based on just shooting from deep, I think it's his first season is going to be a tough adjustment for him. This is in the new NBA 2K. Chris Webber has a piece of in-game commentary where he says that he thinks point guard is now the toughest position to acclimate to in the NBA, whereas back in the day it used to be the big man would put the most time. And I think that's spot on, and it's going to be particularly spot on with a guy like Trae Young, who doesn't have otherworldly wow factor athleticism to get by on. I think it's going to take him a few years, or at least a few months, to figure out how he contributes on an NBA team. Fortunately, he's on the Hawks, and the Hawks are horrible, so he'll have plenty of time to experiment with that. I think long-term, he's going to end up being a pretty good player, but right away I'd be pretty surprised if he's anything super special.
All righty. Matty, you got anything different to say about that?
The biggest thing for him, and we started to see it towards the end of last year, being a big OU fan, he wore down physically, but he seemed like he was mentally engaged still. and he was willing to take the big shot, and he was willing to be aggressive. It's going to be important that he maintains that in his first and second year, as he is waiting for his body essentially to catch up to the rigors of a long NBA season. But he's got talent. He's got a lot of talent. It's tough, the situation he's in, because there's nobody else on that team that is going to require the attention. So he's literally going to get double teamed. He's going to get contact on every off ball screen. He's going to get all the same things that he got in college, except these players are more athletic and they're bigger than he is 100%. So I think it's his mental toughness that's going to be the most critical thing to watch, not necessarily what his production is on the court, because that'll come later.
Let me ask you this. Do you guys think that Trae Young is the best player on the Atlanta Hawks right now?
Maddie, you take this to begin with. I got to go look at their roster to make sure.
I mean, they've got Jeremy Lin, right?
They do.
Yes.
Who's an awfully good point guard in his own right. He's a very smart, crafty point guard who has gotten the most out of his natural gifts. So I think he's a good person for Trae to learn behind, but Trae is definitely not better than he is, even though they're grooming him to be the franchise player.
Yeah.
So no. Sorry.
I stand by that. I would say it's Jeremy Lin. It would be better than he is. But that's just looking at this roster. That's about it. They got some names on here that I haven't seen in a while. namely Thomas Robinson, who I didn't think was still in the NBA. And R.J. Hunter, who I really liked when Boston drafted him a billion years ago, but hasn't managed to break through. It's a pretty terrible roster, so there isn't a ton of competition for Trae Young to be the best player out there. I would imagine it's probably going to be him and Jaylen are going to be starting together, maybe with Trae Young playing a little bit of off guard to start with. But yeah, like Maddie says, it's Lin would be better than him right now. But that's about it on this team.
And John Collins is pretty good in his own right.
That's fair. John Collins is a baller too, actually.
Yeah, I like John Collins a lot. I'm surprised there was no love for Kent Bazemore.
Kent Bazemore is what he is at this stage. You know what you're getting with him, and it doesn't drive me wild.
Yeah, but he's the piece, man. He's the thing that's going to push the Rockets over the edge.
We'll just leave that.
That was a great laugh. That was a great laugh. All right, well, moving on to the next team. The New York Knicks. All right, so obviously the Knicks added my boy Kevin Knox from the University of Kentucky. And like a lot of the guys that come from Kentucky said, they reached out to former Kentucky players when, you know, trying to figure out how to best adjust to becoming a pro. And so Kevin Knox, choice of person to talk to, was, I believe, Karl Anthony Towns. But that's not the big takeaway. Obviously, you know, he said he looked up to Towns and, you know, he asked him for advice on coming into his rookie year. And you know, honestly, that was a good person to ask, because Karl straight up killed it his rookie year. But that's not the big takeaway. The big takeaway was what our favorite center, former center from the Oklahoma City Thunder, Enes Kanter had to say in regards to the possibility of making the postseason, in which he said, "When I think about the playoffs, it makes my nipples hard." Go ahead.
He's such a treasure. It was so awesome the year that Russ won MVP, having him and Steven Adams and Nick Collison talking about the King of the Prairie and all those things. I mean, we'll forever love him in OKC. And it's mutual. And it's because of his personality and how much he let us in. Sometimes even disturbingly so, in talking about his nipples that he's not ashamed to show in all social media while he's doing all of his workouts. But yes, when I think about playoff NBA basketball outside of Golden State, it makes my nipples hard also.
Oh my God. Stuart, make some sense out of this, man.
I don't think I can top that. but sorry. You know what? It's a really weird way of saying it, but what he's bringing across is that I think the Knicks this season maybe feel like they can be a playoff team. And Maddie's harped on the East all podcast. I've been biting my tongue. But he's right. It is a little weaker than the West. And, you know, if Cantor thinks that they can get there and his nipples are getting hard and telling them that they can get there, we'll see when Kristaps Porzingis comes back. But I wouldn't be floored to see New York in the playoffs this season. I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be floored.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, the Knicks were kind of my sleeper pick for playoffs. I don't think I actually picked them to make the playoffs, but given the talent on their roster, if KP can get back in a timely manner, and how weak that Eastern Conference is, man.
Come on.
I'm just kidding. But no, I think they could make some noise. Because offensively, obviously you got KP, you got Cantor, who we've called elite offensively. You got Tim Hardaway Jr., who's not a slouch, and then you bring in Kevin Knox, who showed in the summer league that the dude can fill it up in a hurry. So offensively, you know, they got that, and then obviously defensively they got Frank Ntilikina. KP is a solid defender around the rim in his own right as a shot blocker. And Hardaway and Kevin Knox also, you know, they provide a little bit of defensive versatility. So they've got an interesting starting five. It'll just be interesting what they can get out of their bench. So, yeah, that's my take on that. Kristaps Porzingis did say that there's, quote-unquote, no protocol for a 7'3" guy after tearing his ACL. So he did not give us any timetable on his return.
Which is fair. I mean, I don't think that's what his problem – or the problem that he presents NBA defenses as well is that there really is just no existing protocol anywhere for a 7'3" guy who moves like he moves. So if he – I'm curious to see if he retains the same amount of agility and just overall athleticism that he had pre-tear. That said, and I was mentioning this in the preamble, that was my big Knicks media day takeaway outside of Enes Kanter's nipples, with that it looks like Porzingis put on 10, 15 pounds of muscle in the offseason, or at least he lost some fat or something. He looks a lot more cut in these interviews than he had when he was playing. So I'm interested to see if that added strength translates to an NBA court when he comes back.
All right, well, since I've been hammering – I just hammered the East, and Maddie's been constantly hammering the East, we're going to give yourself a chance to defend it, Stu, before we go to our fake it till you make it. And talking about the Toronto Raptors media day.
So, I'm just going to go ahead and
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
Oh, God.
That's everybody's big takeaway from the Toronto Raptors media day.
Oh, so cringe.
Perhaps justifiably so. I was texting you guys when I was watching it and just being like, man, I'm excited to watch Kawhi Leonard play, but my goodness, that is the most boring interview I've seen in my entire life. Even, and it is media day, so he is going to be saying nothing but cliches, but my goodness, that guy has no charisma. That said, my big media day takeaway with the Raptors, well, I have two. Kyle Lowry is still Kyle Lowry. There's something of an overreaction, I would say, in the NBA Twitter sphere on Lowry's media day press conference, but that's actually just how Lowry handles the media. He's not a big fan, and he disappears every offseason. He likes his private life to remain private, which I understand. And the other one is, man, I already really like Danny Green. Danny Green was up there cracking jokes. He seemed genuinely excited to play on the team. And more than anything else, he was doing a good job of making Kawhi comfortable. And anytime that a question came up that was the same as the last question or was going to be a hard one for Kawhi to answer, Danny Green stepped up and took it. Other than the one time when I forget who it was, but one of the reporters in attendance was asking about, because Toronto's had so much trouble re-signing stars in the past, where do you think that's going to affect things this year? Like, and Masai Ujiri stepped in, took the question away from the players, and just said that narrative is done, and he crushed it and just said, we're not talking about that anymore. This is a team that wins, and guys like to go to teams that win, period, end of, which is not only true, but something that needed to be said and has needed to be said in Toronto for a long time, because our media has always kind of had a pessimistic slant. So to finally have a general manager come out and not buy into that pessimism, but instead just say, hey, like, that's over. That's not where we're at anymore, is huge, not only for Toronto as an organization, but I think it's huge for Kawhi to see that the identity in Toronto isn't what it's stereotyped to be.
That crap is a sickness, bro. It's a weakness. That crap don't live here no more. Shout out Jarvis Landry.
Oh, God. You can't even imitate it properly because it doesn't sound like it came from a person. But
I gave a comparison before the show, and you said that it was, like, pretty spot on. But I found another combination to add to that that makes it even more perfect. So it's a combination of Barney the Dinosaur, Woody the Woodpecker, and Mickey Mouse.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay. That's – oh, man. Very few interviews with him throughout the season, because he's either putting you to sleep or kind of creeping you out with his laugh. Thank goodness that he is a top five NBA player when healthy.
I'll tell you what, talking about Kawhi's media day and his interviews in general, and talking about putting him to sleep, just reminds me about how great sleep is. Matt, do you think sleep's a good thing, man?
I think sleep is important, which brings us to the fake it till you make it. So, sleep, or lack thereof. You lay in bed, uncomfortable, scrolling through your phone, waiting to get tired enough to just fall asleep already. Are you aware that according to Gallup, Americans average 6.8 hours of sleep per night? The National Sleep Foundation recommends 7 to 9 hours per night. And 40% of Americans, and potentially Canadians, get less than 7 hours per night. Let me introduce you to Layla. This is the revolutionary mattress that gets delivered right to your door. It doesn't matter your firmness preference, plush or firm, they have a side for you. That's right, you get both in the same mattress. You just flip it over. Any warm sleepers out there? Yeah, me too. Well, they have you covered. There is copper technology that draws the heat away from you and allows you to fall asleep quicker and stay asleep longer. Anyone have headache, neck, back problems? Me too. Well, I have chronic migraines and degenerative disc disease, and this has been a game changer. I'm able to wake up refreshed and ready to crush the day. And with their 120-night money-back guarantee, what do you have to lose? Chalk this one up in the W column and order your Layla mattress and pillow today. That's laylasleep.com, L-A-Y-L-A sleep.com.
See, that fake ad read compared to any of our other ad reads actually sounded like an ad read. Like, I was waiting for a promo code, man.
That's very professional. Big fan. Layla Mattresses, hit us up.
For real.
Slide in the DMs, man. Oh, boys, I couldn't make this up. I mean, I was like, dang, Stu's very knowledgeable and informed on his Raptors take, and I wish I could give my Thunder take tonight because we're only going to do 15 teams. And I hit random number generator and went to 21, and guess what team it landed on, boys?
21.
Oklahoma City Thunder. All in all, the Thunder's press conference was a good thing. There was no guy saying, who, me? Or, hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench. And there was no Russell Westbrook scowls. So, all in all, that makes for a good press conference. If you don't care, I'm going to go ahead and tee this off hardcore just because, you know, Thunder chats. But anyways.
Let's go.
All right, so I tweeted a tweet. When the press conference is over, I was like, these are my takeaways. And, you know, Twitter, 280 characters. So this is my takeaways. Russ loves China. You know, all of his questions were just, you know, pretty much just player speak. And then there was a Chinese reporter was like, you know, talk about your trip to China. And Russ, his face lit up. He was engaging. He was very complimentary of the people in China and his fans. And It was cool to see. Next was PG loves OKC. That's why he decided to stay there. You know, he said he has a family there, and he said, this is my home. So, shout out Lakers. Steven Adams is awesome. I mean, that doesn't need to be said, but literally everything that comes out of this dude's mouth is hilarious. Like, I'm not going to get into it. I mean, I'm sure Maddie has some quotes that he can hit up on his part, but we'll just leave it at that. Steven Adams is awesome. All right. Abdel Nader did not actually play in Egypt. Everybody talks about Abdel Nader being an Egyptian basketball player. He didn't play in Egypt. He came to the States when he was 8, didn't start playing basketball until he was 13. Alex Brina says he can play great defense. That remains to be seen. Nerlens Noel is 110% bought in to his role in the Thunder. And I just want to point this out because I didn't think about it until Steven brought it up in my pod last night. Nerlens Noel chose a reduced role, less money, to play alongside Russell Westbrook and Paul George over a starting role, more money, and to play alongside LeBron James. Just let that marinate for a little bit. All right. JG's been working. That's basically all that was in Jeremy Grant is he's just been working. Ever since the summer started, he's just been working. And that's great to hear. Patterson just wants to play. He doesn't care if he's starting or coming off the bench. Dennis Schroeder is going to lock up defensively. He said his first few years he was a lockdown defender. His past couple of years, he was the primary focus on offense and needed to have energy to expend on the defensive end with a reduced role and playing against second unit guys. Expect Dennis Schroeder to be a lockdown defender. Hamby has no role at the time. He hasn't talked to the coaches about his role. Hamidou Diallo is who I'm talking about. It'd be interesting to see what happens there. But he did say he would compete in the dunk contest. And Tyler Davis was mistakenly called Hamidou Diallo. So that was fun. But my big takeaway, like my big takeaway from all of this is Russell Westbrook. I said reinventing himself, but I just think he's maturing as a player because, you know, towards the end of his interview, they asked him about his knee. You know, Russell Westbrook had a scope on his knee. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. That was a couple weeks ago that came out. And they asked about his knee, and he said, what did you read? And you can just tell, like, this guy was about to get eviscerated by Russell Westbrook. Like, everybody was just, like, staring at the screen so intently waiting. And the guy was like, the press release. And then Russell Westbrook did something uncharacteristic of Russell Westbrook in these moments. And he started to smile. And then he was like, then, you know, what did the press release say? They said 4 to 6 weeks. And then he's like, well, that's what it is. And He was laughing, but he wasn't laughing at the guy. He wasn't making fun of the guy. He was laughing with the guy. Russell Westbrook is evolving, not obviously as a player, but he's evolving as a person. He's not as confrontational, and I think that Paul George had a lot to do with that. So that was my huge takeaway. I said all that to say that. So, yeah, there you go.
yeah. Go ahead, Stu.
I mean, well, thank you. Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I think that it's a good look on Russell Westbrook's part to be a little less antagonistic with the media. And just kind of, I think that's a leadership thing. And then on top of that, it's like you said, kind of there not being a lot going on in the Thunder's media day is great. You think about last year, I mean, there's so many questions of what is Melo going to do? Is Paul George going to stay? Yada, yada, yada. Your media day turns into a circus. Whereas today it was the media day that was about the team. And that's it's good to see that in Oklahoma City. I think it's a good sign for them going forward.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I don't know what to do with myself, like with not losing sleep over what the Thunder's future holds. Because, you know, the year before last year, it was, is Russell Westbrook going to stick around? And what does that really look like? And the year before that, with all of what was going on and with Kevin Durant and moving into to all of that stuff, it's just kind of nice to have it quiet. But now it's just straight optimism, and we don't even have to be cautiously optimistic. We can be full on sunset colored glasses optimistic as fans, and we can breathe a little bit. And just kind of let this team be what it needs to be instead of forcing the issue and always questioning every single move. We've got a lot of youth. And I think Westbrook sees that too. And is like, okay, as a leader, I have to take the role that I set the tone for what our team is. If I'm antagonistic to the media, that teaches that the younger guys that, it's an us against them situation. That's no longer the case anymore. People aren't trying to divide me and Paul George up anymore. People aren't trying to say that I'm a horrible teammate. Nobody wants to play with me anymore. The media is really on Russ's side because a lot of the old narratives are gone. So Russ gets to take a completely different approach this year than he's had in the last two seasons.
For sure, man. It's gonna be a good time to be an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say about it. But we do have more teams to talk about. I think let's see here. That was three. So that's 12. We got three more teams. All right. So first one here is the LA Clippers.
No good Clippers.
The big takeaway, and man, this is big. This is huge in a literal sense. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's last name is so big. It curves around the back of his jersey like a free throw key. Your thoughts?
Do big names translate to big performance? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, let's see. Kristaps Porzingis. Giannis Antetokounmpo, but then you got Hernan Gomez too, so remains to be seen.
Which one? Willie or Wancho?
I mean, both.
Either or, yes. another takeaway here is Danilo Gallinari looks to be healthy going into his 11th season in the NBA. I don't know if you guys watched the Global Games back in the summer, but he led, I think, the game of scoring with like 24 points, shot the three ball pretty good. So you guys think Nilo's back?
I hope so. I like the Rooster. He's fun to watch, and he brings a lot to a team. And the Clippers, like I said about the Hawks, the Clippers are going to suck. So, like, you know, it's a good chance for him to just put up some numbers and secure the bag for himself in future seasons.
Man, that dude's had the bag for a while.
You ain't wrong.
But he's just getting healthy at the right time. So, yeah, good on him.
All right, so our next team we got is the Indiana Pacers.
Let's move along.
Yeah. There's literally not a lot to talk about there anymore. But Indiana Pacers, the big takeaway here is they took the biggest team photo with 8 people. But the second biggest – or no, the biggest takeaway, and this is just as huge as Gilgeous Alexander's name. Victor Oladipo revealed his secret to success. It wasn't playing with Westbrook and learning his work ethic. It wasn't having the ball in his hands more in Indiana than Oklahoma City. It is watching 1 of 4 movies every night, Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Mulan, and Shrek. Your thoughts?
I mean, like, don't you get bored, Vic? Every night? Every night you're watching the same 4 flicks? Like, I feel like you can probably quote a scary amount of those 4 movies. Does he not have Netflix?
Stu is at a loss for words.
Hey, you know what, though? Like, If you wanna get hype, just throw Mulan in. That's the only one you need, right? I mean, every time I hear that, let's get down to business, I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. Let's defeat those Huns. Yeah. let's get this thing cracking. So I bet he feels the same way. Just like Russ gets crunk on T Swizzle. You know, I think Vic, you know, that's all you need. Or if he's tired, he's like, come on, I got to be a man. Yeah, be a man. I can go all day with Mulan. So, yeah. Good on him, man. Good on him. You do you.
I get that. But, like, what's he watching Home Alone for? Is he trying to set traps for middle-aged Robert, home robbers?
Yo, the Pacers locker room is dangerous, bro. There's little matchbox cars all over the floor there.
He said, Miles Turner is not getting in my locker.
Oh, man.
All right, this pod's going off the rails, and we still got 2 teams left to cover. All right, here we go. Or actually, 1 team left to cover. Sorry. All right, 16, the Miami Heat. Ooh. The big takeaway here, Deion Waiters is fat again.
Waiters Island grew?
Oh, it expanded.
He's not fat. He's cultivating mass. All right.
obviously, I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. We saw last season where Dwayne Wade was traded mid-season to Miami, and it didn't take long for him to reacclimate to their playing style, playing in South Beach, and Pat Riley's expectations of being in shape. So, he's not going to look like this a long time, but it is comical to look at Deion Waiters' pictures and see just how wide he has gotten.
My big takeaway from the Heat's media day is that Udonis Haslem is still on the Miami Heat, and not like – I just kind of thought he retired after LeBron left. I had no idea that he was still in Miami. This is – it's weird to see, man.
16th season, man. Oof.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts, Maddie, on the Miami Heat? You got any big takeaways, or you just want to comment on what 101 we said?
They old. This is a farewell tour for Dwayne Wade. And, I mean, it's going to be similar to the Kobe treatment that Kobe got his last year. I don't know if Wade's about to ball out in his last game, but – It just This seems like a team that doesn't know what its identity is and what they don't know if they're in transition. They don't know if they really want to compete. It's just a very weird team. I don't have a beat on. That's all.
Yeah, and you know, this is a team that you know, reportedly could be the front runners to land Jimmy Butler in a trade. So it's going to be interesting. You know, you just touched on, you know, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to rebuild? Or are they trying to compete? Are they even trying to make the playoffs at this point? So I think how aggressive they are in trying to get Jimmy Butler will have a lot to – will show us a lot about their future plans. But, fellas, that was 15 teams. 15 teams in the NBA. We'll cover 15 on our next podcast. But before we go, we have to end this podcast like we end every other podcast with a would you rather question. And, boys, I got a good one. I just can't remember what it was now. Oh, shoot. Wow. I'm sad about it. I really am.
Professional podcasting with Stat Chasers.
Did it have anything to do with Jigsaw from the movie?
It did not. That was yours. And you know what? Go ahead with yours. And while you do that, I'm gonna think about mine.
So, would you rather in real life hear Jigsaw tell you, would you like to play a game? Or would you rather listen to Kawhi Leonard laugh on loop for 24 hours straight? I will start with you, Stu.
Well, do I get to see Kawhi Leonard wearing a Toronto Raptors jersey? Because I would just listen to screaming children for 24 hours straight if it meant that I got a constant reminder that Kawhi Leonard was a Toronto Raptor. The Saw movies, they seem pretty spooky. So I stay away from that type of thing. So I'm gonna go listening to Kawhi Leonard solely because of the heartwarming reminder of where he plays.
Can I put a qualifier on it?
Yes.
You're in a darkened room, and all you hear is, would you like to play a game, or you hear Kawhi Leonard laugh.
Somehow the laugh is scarier, so then I'm going to switch, actually.
All right, this is my hot take for it. If I'm in a dark room, so I'm trapped in a dark room for 24 hours, what you're telling me, right?
Yeah.
All right. So if I hear Jigsaw say that, that means I'm going to have to play a game where I possibly die. So already, that's not looking great. After I hear something repeatedly over and over again, I can kind of tune it out. So I'm going to pick Kawhi's laugh because I feel like I can just fall asleep eventually.
But by the point, if you can't block that out, by the point that you might find a breaking point and you're like, look, where is Jigsaw at? I got to get the heck up out of this situation. I can't take it anymore. But at least that way I have a chance to live. If not, I don't know what I'm going to do to myself.
Hey, man, you forget I have two kids. I'm a kids pastor, and I drove a school bus. I'm used to people asking the same things over and over again. Or I'm used to hearing the same thing over and over again. What would you do, Maddie?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't want to die, but I would probably feel like dying if I heard Kawhi. I would probably – you know what? This is what would happen. I would choose Kawhi. And then I would end up like the Joker after it was all said and done, and I would have lost my mind.
I don't think you'd lose your mind. You'd just walk out of there laughing exactly like that the next day, which might be even worse.
On repeat, and that's all I knew how to say.
I'll tell you what, man. I was literally about to say that about Joker, but just because, like, I wouldn't stop laughing. Because literally to this day, like, obviously it happened yesterday, but literally, like, anytime I hear it, like I'm still just like I can't help myself. It just cracks me up. But I remember my would you rather question. And it does have to do with Kawhi's laugh. So, would you rather have Kawhi's laughter or LeBron James' hairline?
Well,
and what would you like people to know? In order for me to tell you about myself, I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
Just, oh, you know what? I feel like if I had a messed up hairline, you know, it is what it is. I can shave my head and I can live with that. But that's every time somebody makes a joke, they're instantly like, oh man, I don't know about this guy. I'm taking the hairline all day on that one.
Yeah, I got to take the hairline too. I mean, I'd never get invited to any parties ever again. My wife would never watch anything comic related with me. She'd be stuck with me as it is. If I didn't have a wife already, I would never get one. So yeah, I got to take that hairline. I mean, bald is beautiful in my mind after that. So I would rock the heck out of like not having hair.
I have a full head of hair right now, but I rock dad hats all day. So I guess I would take the hairline. What I'm hearing from this is we would almost choose anything other than hearing or having Kawhi Leonard's laugh.
I'm just saying, just imagine that you're on like a date at like a comedy club and the guy cracks a joke and then the girl looks at you to see if you're laughing and she just hears.
I mean, it's just more question you have to ask. In order for me to tell you about myself, I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
That's yo, it. You're not getting a second date after that. You're done. She's not calling you. She blocked your number.
And that dude steady getting roasted the rest of the night by whatever comedian.
If anyone overhears that, yeah, their whole set goes out the window and they're like, I'm making fun of this guy's laugh for 2 hours.
How could you not overhear it?
It's like free material right there, man. All right, boys. Well, we covered 15 teams and we eviscerated Kawhi Leonard's laughter. I feel like that'll probably be a recurring subject throughout the season. But we'll hit the other 15 teams sometime maybe later this week or might just touch on next week, depending on how news goes. Of course, we have the looming Jimmy Butler trade, so we'll see how that is.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, let them know where they can find you guys. Let's start with Maddie because M comes before S.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Maddie Mulls Pod. That's MattyMulls Pod. We are building some momentum for another podcast that's going to be coming online. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, if you like making money and you want to do so in DraftKings or FanDuel, hit me up with all your questions. I'm putting out a pretty big podcast this weekend to get the ball rolling. And then I'll be having some special guests jump on board with me. So I look forward to interacting with all of y'all and peace.
All right, Stu, where can people find you, my friend?
Well, you find me on Anchor at the Raptors Rundown podcast. Nothing popping right now, but I'm working on some stuff that I'm hoping to put out in the next couple weeks once training camp starts up in earnest.
You can put out a whole pod on Kawhi Leonard's laugh.
I'd have to listen to it more than I'm comfortable listening to it. And then you can also follow me on Twitter at Northern Connect 2. I'm slowly figuring Twitter out. It's been a struggle. I am not social media savvy, but I'll try and get more content happening. So peace out, boys and girls.
All right, and of course, I'm doing at D_108 at Thunder Chats. As Maddie kind of hinted at, we are starting a Thunder podcast with a couple cohorts that have been on Thunder Chats a few times. The podcast is going to be called Topic Thunder. So it's going to be a lot of Thunder basketball, a lot of NBA news, and a lot of Tropic Thunder references. So it's going to be a great time.
You people are going to love it.
You people are going to love it.
What do you mean, people?
Thunder.
What do you mean, you people?
We are an absolute unit. We're just some dudes who talk about some dudes playing basketball. All right, I'm done with it now. But yeah, follow us at OKC Topic Thunder. And of course, follow the podcast you're listening to right now because, you know, we would appreciate your follow at Stat Chasers. And like I said, we will have part two of the Media Day takeaways coming up later this week or possibly next week. So till then, y'all have a great night. God bless. Remember, the chase is on. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.